Heal us, O Lord, and we will be healed. Save us, and we will be saved. For you are the one we praise. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. And we hear these words from verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. God's word is truth. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel lived a little less than 600 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And his ministry coincides with one of Jerusalem's darkest hours, the siege and destruction of Jerusalem. Solomon's temple to the Lord that was so wonderfully and skillfully built for worship was laid waste and its treasures pillaged. The people themselves were led off into exile to serve the Babylonians. And Ezekiel had two completely different messages to the same people, but at different times. One message was before the destruction of Jerusalem, and a different message during the exile itself. The message during the exile, that's what we're going to be focusing on today. But the question, what was the pre-destruction message? Well, this is what it was. The people of Judah were hanging on by a thread. They had this false hope in their own power and their own glory. And they dared to defy the superpower of the day, Babylon, and that was not a good idea. But what was even worse is that they dared to defy the Lord himself. What was going on? Well, they poured out their heart and soul into so many things that there was nothing left for the Lord when they came to worship him. Oh, they made their required sacrifices at the required times, on the required altar, at the required place. And yet it was all just a routine to do and get out of the way so that they could and go and do what they really wanted to do. And that is worship other things. You see, on every hilltop there was an idol to worship and devote their lives to. They had a love of everything except the Lord. And the Lord shows us in chapter 8 that they would actually turn their backs to the temple here in the morning praise. And they would worship the rising sun coming up from the east. And that they would do it right from the temple courtyards itself. And that is even worse than checking out the radar and the weather map during the sermon. They were a people who knew the way of the Lord, but it was all lost on them. The Lord's message was to repent. Otherwise, he would destroy their cities and take them off into exile. And yet they were a rebellious house and would not listen. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, what brings you here? Why are you here? Inspect your heart for an answer to that question. You know, have you come to nourish your soul with God, with the gospel, or have you reduced God to nothing more than a routine that you are more than happy to get done with and out of the way? You know, if worship is empty, if you long for something else, anything else, you know, to elevate above God, that there is sin. It's separating you from your Savior. Examine your heart and soul. Are you bored with God? Are you seeking an idol of the heart to replace God? Maybe it's too late. You know, are there idols on hilltops that you need to get rid of? Well, yes, we need to repent. We need to seek God's forgiveness. And once forgiven, once restored, to have a God-given change of heart. For the people of Judah, the warning became a reality. There was nothing left. Every idol was cut down. Everything they put their pride in was laid waste. Foreigners in a foreign land, I mean, this is what they were. Utter sadness was in abundance. They were a broken people led to repentance. And then in their depression, in their despair, in recognition of what they had done, they wondered if the Lord could ever forgive them. Would the Lord still keep his promises? Or would he just wash his hands of them? Has he already done that? A sad whimper is heard. Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we are indeed cut off. Would the Lord ever show mercy again to them, to us? The prophet Ezekiel has a vision. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Has your soul ever felt so parched as a pile of bones exposed to the elements? This is what happens when the soul forsakes the Lord and his word. A picture of Judah? Yes, certainly. It's also a picture of what idolatry and selfish pride do to us. This sin sucks the life out of you until you are nothing more than bones, dry bones. And sin invites us to be one in the valley of dry bones. Have you been there? Are you there now? Have you ever pondered, can the Lord forgive this apathy? Can the Lord forgive this sin which led to that apathy? Can the Lord forgive me? Can I believe his message of forgiveness to the repentant? Can these dry bones live? Common sense says no. Reason says no. The devil tries to get you to believe that you, yes, you who should have known better, who have no excuse, that you are beyond the mercy of the Lord, so don't try to fool yourselves. It's the same trick the devil showed to Judas Iscariot. And it worked on him. I mean, he was led to despair and refused God's mercy and forgiveness. Don't fall for his trick. Look into the valley of dry bones. See the lives of those without hope, without faith. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Notice what the prophet speaks. He doesn't say, no way, are you kidding me? He acknowledged that the one who formed Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed life into him can do whatever he wants. The Lord knows if dry bones can live. The Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones to come alive, and that at the command of the Lord they shall come back to life. He speaks, and there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, right, drawing attention to this, there were sinews or tendons on them, and they had flesh upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Everything was there, skin, bones, tendons, and flesh, but one thing was missing, the breath. Everything was there for life except life itself. The breath of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord was not in them. In the same way, in this life, if the Spirit of the Lord, faith in Christ, is missing, is there life? Or a shell of just what seems to be life? Without the breath of God, life is void and meaningless. But God changes our story. Christ intervened. The apathy, the lies of the devil, our own doubt, they are cast aside, and God takes our dry bones and makes us alive again. A zeal for the gospel has a beating heart. And the Lord speaks, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The idols of the heart are destroyed. Dry bones are made alive. Forgiveness from a gracious God is given through the work of Christ and his sacrifice for your salvation. And you are given new life in Christ. And all of this is done through the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace, the word and sacraments. It's through those same means of grace that the Holy Spirit continues to nourish our living faith. The Holy Spirit makes dry bones live. That is our story. What brought you here today? Why are you here? Well, Well, God brought you to life through the gospel. And the gospel is here. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.